Welcome to Money Making Sense, the show that talks about all things money. Today we are talking about consumer scams, and we have a consumer protection attorney from the FTC, that's the Federal Trade Commission. This is Colin McDonald from the Northwest region. Welcome to the show, Colin.
Hi, Heather. Nice to be here.
All right. So my big question is, I have to not continually, but every few months, I'm putting out an episode talking about scams because people just keep getting scammed. And it's not just me talking about them. I mean, that's everywhere. It's in news reports. So why do people keep getting scammed?
Well, I don't have a lot of great things to say about scammers, but scammers are definitely adaptable. And so we see new scams that come up all the time. They change with what people are talking about, what people are worried about. But there are also scams that keep going because scammers keep getting success with them. So every year we study what scams we're seeing the most of. And sometimes we see things that we are seeing significant increases. And sometimes we see the same things that keep coming around year after year. In 2023, we recently found that once again, imposter scams were the most common scams that we saw. But what those imposter scams look like changes from year to year and from week to week.
So when you say imposter scams, you're talking about somebody pretending to be from your bank or a sheriff's department. Like, you know, there's a warrant for your arrest. If you don't pay us right now, we're coming to get you. I've actually received that call.
Exactly. I mean, it could be imposters pretending to be just about anybody. So whether that's a bank, one that you actually do business with, or one that you don't. It could be somebody pretending to be a government agency. It could be even someone pretending to be another individual, someone who you are less likely to be suspicious of. And so those imposter scams work by trying to leverage the trust you already have in either an institution or a business, and use that to get you to turn over money without having to build up a scam from the ground.
Yeah, a friend of mine, her grandmother got a call saying the grandmother thought it was from her granddaughter. My friend said she went to Mexico and been arrested and she needs money for bail. And first of all, I guess they preyed on elderly person being in a panic and not recognizing the woman's voice on the other end is not her granddaughter.
Yeah. And unfortunately, we're seeing more targeted and more personalized scams as time goes on, because there's just so much information out there about all of us that scammers can take advantage of. But what you mentioned is one of the most common tactics that we see from scammers, which is to create a sense of urgency. And so they'll tell you that they need something right away and try to prevent you from taking the time to stop and think about whether something really makes sense. And so it could be that they're saying they're stuck in another country and need bail money. But you didn't know that person was going to that other country, or you're not the person who you think they would contact for help with that kind of problem. But when they tell you, I need this right now, they're preying upon people wanting to be good people and be helpful. And so that's why it's really important to, when you get contacted by somebody out of the blue asking for something extremely quickly, to stop and take a beat and think about whether it makes sense, maybe talk to a trusted friend or loved one, someone who you can rely on to give you a second opinion so that you're not acting too impulsively.
Okay. What are some of the other top scams that scammers are trying to use on people right now?
One of the areas where we've seen an increase in the amount of money that consumers are reporting losing is in investment scams. And in 2023, we saw consumers report losing approximately $4.5 billion to investment scams. And so the average loss there is one of the highest across different kinds of scams, because we're seeing average reported losses of about $7,700. And so these are scams that try to tell you that you can invest in something and get rich quick. Unfortunately, there's usually no shortcuts to making money in life. And so they want to tell you that they found a way to get around the system. But unfortunately, those often wind up leading to consumers losing a lot of money.
Is this sort of like the Bernie Madoff formula?
There's a lot of different formulas. It's often They'll name something that you potentially kind of heard of in the news, but maybe don't know a lot about. So, for example, when cryptocurrency first got big, we saw a big rise in the number of cryptocurrency-related scams. And people saying, oh, well, you know, we'll help you make tons of money by just investing money in cryptocurrency. They could also talk about specific business opportunities or things like that. But again, the key way to identify these are they're usually promising you a way to cheat the system or get around having to do all the hard work that's usually necessary to make money in this life. And so they'll tell you that you need to act quickly. Again, this is one of the most common traits of these scams, is they tell you that you don't have time to stop and think and do your research. They want you to jump in before you have time to figure out whether this might not be what it pretends to be.
Yeah, and a lot of scammers, especially if you have elderly people that can be easily confused, or they grew up in that generation where these type of scams just didn't exist for them. I mean, it was harder. You had to be in person, and now it's on the phone or on the computer. But a lot of times scammers will call people and make whatever threat or excuse they're using to try to get their money, and then keep them on the phone while they drive to the store to buy gift cards or to get to the bank to get a wire transfer. And they're like, don't tell them exactly what this is for. Just keep me on the phone, though, so I can walk you through the process. And that's like a huge red flag. If they want to stay on the phone while you go get the money for them, for me, that's a big red flag.
That's exactly right. It's a huge red flag if they're trying to keep you on the phone and trying to prevent you from doing your research or reaching out to somebody else. But also, you bring up another point. One of the things that we see in a lot of different kinds of scams is that scammers are very particular about how they want to get paid. And it might be that they say, oh, you need to pay us in cryptocurrency. Or they might say, you need to pay us using gift cards to either big box stores or online retailers, ones that they can probably turn around and sell for a fair amount of money. You know, particularly when somebody claims to be from the government, I'll tell you, the government is never going to ask you to pay in cryptocurrency, and the government's never going to ask you to pay using gift cards. But generally, any of these businesses, if you think about the way that you would normally interact with them, if they're suddenly telling you to interact with them in a way that is different from how you would, then that's a huge red flag. The other thing that we often see with these scams is people saying you need to move your money to protect your money. And that's just always a scam. And, you know, we've heard of situations where someone claims to be calling from the government or calling from a bank and saying you need to move your money out of your account and into a different account, or you need to put it in cash and give it to us and we'll keep it safe. And anyone who's telling you that you need to move your money to keep it safe, that's a scam.
I have a few more questions, but I want to take a really quick break and come back and talk about more about the type of money or how people ask their victims to move their money. But also, where are these scammers finding their victims? So we'll be right back with Colin McDonald. He is a consumer protection attorney for the Northwest region of the FTC. Welcome back to Money Making Sense, the show that if it affects your life in any way money-wise, we're talking about it. And today we're talking about some of the top scams that are going around. Either they've been around for forever and they're so popular they just keep going, or new scams pop up all the time. Joining me is Colin McDonald. He is a consumer protection attorney with the FTC in the Northwest region. Colin, you had just talked about how a lot of scammers ask either cryptocurrency or gift cards. I know gift cards are not traceable, which is a big reason why a lot of scammers want to get paid with them. It's hard to get your money back. But doesn't the cryptocurrency, isn't there like a crypto exchange and you can actually find where the money goes?
Unfortunately, the whole structure of cryptocurrency has often been designed around making it difficult to trace where money is moving. And so although the system sort of sounds like there might be a paper trail, in reality, it's extremely difficult to trace where the money moves, and it's extremely difficult to get your money back afterward. I do also want to note that the single highest amount of money that we've seen lost in terms of payment methods continues to be bank transfers, where consumers reported losses were about $1.8 $1 billion last year paid by bank transfers. But cryptocurrency is a close second at about $1.4 billion. So we're seeing all kinds of different methods that scammers are willing to use to get money out of their targets.
I recently found out that there are actually ATM cryptocurrency machines. Like, it's just like going to an ATM machine to get out cash, but it's for cryptocurrency. So you put in cash and it sells you crypto, which is not physical. And then you just send that to the scammer or whoever wants the crypto. It's weird.
Yeah. And I think as cryptocurrency becomes more accessible, it's just going to become a more viable way that scammers are going to use to try to target people. Because I think maybe 10 years ago, if you or I got a phone call saying that we needed to put money into cryptocurrency and pass it on, we would have just said, well, too bad, I don't know how to do that. But as time moves on and it becomes more accessible, I think that's another risk area. But again, one of the key identifiers of a scam is if the person tells you that you have to pay in this one specific way, particularly if it's different from how you'd usually pay a trusted business or a government entity. That's a big red flag.
Yeah, and I would also remind people that a gift card is just that. It's a gift. It is not a form of payment. If you cannot pay the electric company with a gift card, then why would you be paying anybody else who says, oh my gosh, you owe us money, with a gift card?
That's great advice.
So we've talked about identity scams, people trying to pay with gift cards. What other type of scams are out there that we kind of need to be on the lookout for?
I think one that we've been seeing more and more in recent years is romance scams. And these can take a variety of different forms. But the general parameters are you get either an email or a text message or a message on social media from someone claiming to be looking for love. And they're preying upon another basic human desire, and that is wanting to find someone. And loneliness is a very strong driver. And so they say that they want to get to know you, and possibly they'll spend a bunch of time talking to you. But then suddenly, after you've been talking for some days or weeks, they hit you with, I need you to send me money. And either it's going to be that they say they need the money so that they can come and visit you, or they need the money because something bad has happened to them. And so, again, it'll be this sense of urgency that they'll try to create that'll make you not stop and think about what's going on. But the same advice that applies to all kinds of scams applies here. You might want to avoid sending any money to anybody you haven't met in person. But also, you can talk to a trusted friend, ask whether something seems a little bit off about what you're receiving. But also, if you're on an online system and you're seeing a picture of somebody, you can go onto a search engine and do a reverse image search and search for whether that photo has been taken from some public source and the person who you're talking to really is that person, or whether it's somebody else entirely.
I had my own issue with this. As a news reporter, I cover some of the big stories here in Salt Lake. And a few years back, one of our mayors was also a part of the National Guard, and he'd been called up to serve in Iraq. And he died while in service. And so there was a great big huge funeral. His name was Major Brent Taylor. I covered the funeral. I knew exactly who this person was. And not 3 weeks after his funeral, I got the message on Facebook. Hi, I'm, and they changed the name. They didn't say call themselves Major Brent Taylor, but they posted his picture saying they wanted to get to know me. And I'm like, yeah, that was a start, would have been a start of a romance scam if I had not known who he was.
And that's exactly what we often hear. And it's particularly a painful story where you have a deceased service member. But we do know that military personnel are often the fake personalities that are used. And so they'll claim to be serving overseas or something, because, again, they're trying to get you to rely on trust you have in institutions that are looked on favorably, and rely on that to make you trust the scammer.
So that's one way that scammers find their victims, is these romance scams. They just go on Facebook and they see people and go, ooh, you know, and in your Facebook profile or Twitch or whatever profile you have out there, a lot of times we have out there, I'm single, looking for love, you know, or divorced, you know, whatever it is. If you have any of those categories, divorce, single, looking for, the scammers are going to glom onto that and figure out, ooh, this person may feel desperate emotionally and be open to having me just sweet talk them and then get their money.
That's right. And we see them also happening on dating websites. And so it could be through a system that is explicitly where you're looking for romance. And so the advice of always stopping and taking a minute and thinking through whether something sounds too good to be true or somebody's trying to pressure you to act quickly is useful advice no matter how you're contacted.
And how else do scammers find their victims?
We see scammers using every method of communication that you can imagine. The number one way in which people are contacted for scams in terms of losses continues to be email. And so particularly business imposter scams often happen by email. And so it could be an email that looks like a standard email that you see from a business that you know and trust, or a government imposter scam that claims to be from, for example, the Social Security Administration. But we also know that people are contacted on social media. We know that people are contacted by phone. Scammers are playing a numbers game, and they're contacting as many people as they can as quickly as possible and seeing who they catch. And that's one of the reasons why, by stopping and taking some time, you can often cause the scammer to move on from you because you are taking too much time and you do not seem profitable to them.
Yeah, this is my advice. If you get that phone call or the email that makes your heart jump or start, just hang up the phone or get out of the email for a minute and take that breath. Like, go research it separately. Don't click on links inside of a text message or an email or anything like that. But you have to develop the habit of not reacting to your heart jumping. We're all going to have it. Their heart's going to go, oh, I'm in trouble. Do whatever.
That's exactly right.
I know that there's a big milestone that happened in 2023 as far as how much money was lost. How much money have scammers gotten from people?
So in 2023, it was the first year that the FTC received reports of over $10 billion of consumer losses. And that's despite having about the same number of reports of scams. And so we got about 2.6 million reports of scams, but this is the first time that we hit the 10 billion mark in terms of the amount of money lost, which is a sign that people are losing more and more money to scams. And we know that all of these numbers are an undercount because not every scam is reported to us. And so $10 billion is a very conservative estimate of how much money consumers lost in 2023 alone.
Wow. Where can people go to get more information about scams, what they need to look out for, et cetera?
Yeah, we put out consumer alerts so consumers can stay up to date on what's happening most frequently. And you can go to ftc.gov/consumeralerts to sign up for those alerts, and they'll come straight to your email inbox. You can also go to ftc.gov/imposters to learn more about imposter scams. And if you do think that you have experienced a scam, you can report those to us so that we know what's going on and so that we and our law enforcement partners around the country can take action. And so consumers can go online and report at reportfraud.ftc.gov or in Spanish, reportefraude.ftc.gov, or call the FTC at 877-382-4357, which is 877-FTC-HELP.
Okay, and I will have all of that information in the description of this episode. Any other information, details you want to get out there for the public on scams and what they need to know?
The only other thing that I want to make sure that consumers know is that one of the things that scammers rely on is the embarrassment that people sometimes feel about being scammed. And it's important to know that these are people who target everyone. This is something that can happen to anyone. And don't be embarrassed, because these people make it their living to trick people. And the best way that you can fight back is if you think something has gone wrong, if you think that somebody might be trying to scam you or did scam you, to report it, to talk to people you trust, and to help put a stop to these scams.
Thank you so much, Colin McDonald. You are a consumer protection attorney with the FTC in the Northwest region. And we thank you so much for giving us a bit more detail on what we need to be aware of.
Thank you so much.
Thanks for listening. You can email me with any questions or topics you want to hear about at hkelly@ksl.com. That's hkelly@ksl.com. And because this is Money Making Sense, you can subscribe for free on Spotify, Overcast, Apple Podcasts, anywhere you listen to your favorite podcast, and you'll never miss another episode.
Thanks for being a Money Making Sense listener. Follow your common sense on the social media, Money Making Sense, on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram.